ThisIsLaw.com. It's time to end the confusion and create for yourself a clear path that leads to true enlightenment of the heart, mind, body, and soul. ClearIsLaw.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وبعد, إن شاء الله, today our topic is on forgiveness and what is stopping you from asking Allah. Is there anything that's stopping you from asking forgiveness from your Creator? Is there any hurdle that prevents you from asking the one who created you from nothing? Is there anything, or is there any shame to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there any disgrace in you prostrating yourself to Allah, the Creator of the universe, and turning to Him? Is there any barricade in front of you to stop you from seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ. For these people, there is a hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًا غَفُورًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft pardoning, most forgiving. The asbab al-nuzul for this ayah is different, but we can take it as a general context and just examine the word وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَفُوًا غَفُورًا. And Allah is of pardoning, or the word al-'afu, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the effacer of sins, the one who eradicates all sins. It is similar to al-ghafoor, but it has a different connotation. Al-Ghafoor, the all-forgiving, means concealment. If you look at the root word, Ghafara, and you analyze that further down, they give you a word that means Ghufrah, with ta marbuta at the end. It means a lid or a cover. And usually you conceal something with a lid, and usually when you cover something, you're covering and you're concealing something. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers our faults day in and day out. Every time we do something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is covering us. So while al-'afu states the eraser, it eradicates all the sins that you have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do that. Now people are seeking forgiveness of their sins from priests or rabbis or whoever they may be, human beings, even prophets. We're not supposed to seek forgiveness from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're supposed to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the dua of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated to his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, he stated more often in Ramadan, what is it? It's very, very nice, and it states, Allahumma innaka afu. Oh Allah, you are the one that eradicates sins. You are the off-pardoning. Allahumma innaka afu, tuhibbu al-afwa, fa'afu anni. And you love to forgive, so forgive me. So keep continuing. Allahumma innaka afu. And some people add afu and kareem. Doesn't matter, but the authentic, Allah knows better, is afu. تُحِبُّ الْعَفُوَ فَعَفُوا عَنِّي. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should ask Allah's forgiveness each and every time. And a similar attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Ghaffar, the one who is full of forgiveness, the one who really takes and conceals all the things that are ugly in the human. He is the one who makes manifest some things that are beautiful. The beauty is what he is manifesting. And the first concealment that he conceals for you, subhanAllah, is the inner part of your body. If you look at your kidneys, your liver, your heart, if somebody opens you in an operation table, and Allah save us from that. If somebody opens you and opens your heart and opens your liver and kidney and so on and so forth, it's not a pretty sight. That's why in war they say, you know, when blood and guts and so on and so forth, people have trauma. It's not a pretty sight when you open somebody up, when somebody has even a gash on his hand. It's not something nice, but when your liver and your heart and everything, if people could see it, it would not be that pleasant to look at. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed that with skin and beauty, so you can adorn yourself. You look beautiful, you are somebody that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preferred over other creatures. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي خَلْقِكُمْ وَمَا يُبَثُّ مِن دَابَّةٍ. And in them, خَلْقِكُمْ, like in yourselves, and the living creatures that He has spread all over the earth, آيَاتٌ لِقَوْمٍ يُقِنُونَ. These are signs for people who have faith with certainty. Not just faith, but faith with certainty. Now, this is the first concealment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealed your inner organ and made you beautiful. And the second concealment is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that person's heart, the Islamic terminology, afida. They say it's the heart, but it's the center of emotions, meaning your brain and your heart is connected together. You don't just literally think with your heart itself, but it has a connection with your brain. Now when you're thinking that this connection, your brain, your heart, you know, it said, oh, he hurt my heart, but you understand with your brain that he hurt your heart. People say, oh, he's thinking with his heart, not with his brain. That's their philosophy. The house of ugly intentions is in the center of your heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed your thoughts from other people. It is hidden from others. And if people were to know your thoughts, your dishonesty in doing things, your lust for somebody else's sister, your greed, your hatred for brothers and sisters, your deep hatred, hiqd, your hatred for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealed all that. Consider that your weak spots. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in many verses, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And most of the humans, nas, they don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed for you your thoughts. Can you imagine if somebody could think your thoughts, what you're thinking about them? It would be a huge problem. It is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that people cannot think what's in your brain and what's in your heart and what you're desiring. And the third concealment is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving of sins which the person deserves to be disgraced in front of all creatures. He forgives those sins. He conceals you all that trouble for you, that you won't be disgraced. But people are wanting to be disgraced. They disgrace themselves. And then they blame it on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is evil is from you, and what is good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how the Muslim thinks. His weak spots on the Day of Judgment. What will you do on the Day of Judgment when they're all uncovered? Now what do we do in our conversation? Do you know, brother? Do you know, like he wants to give you some ilm, some knowledge. Instead of saying, do you know, brother, that hadith? Do you know that this terminology is this? Do you know that wudu is this? Do you know the fara'id of this is this? No. Do you know, brother, that brother has a girlfriend? Do you know, brother, that sister is fooling around with that brother, or that kafir, or this or that? And that's how you start your conversation. Do you know? You want people to inquire, oh yeah, let me know what you want to know. It's just like selling newspaper. Did you know? So people automatically want to inquire, and this is a disease. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed your faults. Why disclose other people's faults? Why don't you say, do you know the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then they state, do you know that so-and-so is stingy? So who made you generous? When did you become the most generous? Allah is the most generous. Stinginess, you can be seen by people. And he will share, or she will share, her own burden on the Day of Judgment for being stingy. Bakhil. Because Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said that a person can be, a mu'min can be, there's a probable chance of them being a bakhil, a stingy person, miserly, the one tight-fisted. But there's no chance for a mu'min to be a liar. And then you continue on stating, just continuing, slandering people. Oh, you know that one drinks. Oh, do you know that one smokes? Oh, do you know that one has an earring? Oh, do you know that one has this? And do you know that one wears gold chains? Yeah, this is all good. But what have you done to remedy that situation? You want to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your sins, but you're defaming other people as soon as you see them. Your spiritual pride has gone up just like hot air. And it cannot come down. It just needs to be cool. You have to see reality. And there is actually a tradition that Isa alayhi salam, he was walking with his disciples. And there was a dog that was dead. It had a stench, a smell. And the disciples said that, what a horrid stench that the dog has. Isa alayhi salam replied to them, what beautiful teeth that the dog has, because the teeth were still intact. Meaning to state that look at the beauty of the thing instead of looking at the ugliness of the thing. Because we should start really looking at the ugliness of ourselves. If you're really trying to understand Islam, then start looking at the ugliness of yourself, rectify yourself before you point your finger to the other side. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ. And I am the ghaffar, the all-forgiving, to the one who turned. Taba, tawbah, the one who turns to me. وَآمَنَ, and believes. وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحًا, and does righteous works. ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى, and there stays constant therein. After doing that, after believing in Allah, after doing righteous works, and staying constant therein, in righteousness. Not just forgetting about it. You're righteous for a day, brother. You're righteous for a day, sister. And then you forget. So what is stopping you from asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? Number one, you could be too proud. And Allah states that in the Qur'an, استغنى. You think you're self-sufficient. You think you have it all. So you could be too proud. Or you think that you're too far gone to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think that, I've done so much, why just keep continuing doing whatever I'm doing? Only the kuffar despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believers, they don't. Whatever you have done, you can still ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what you have done, before maut comes to you, which could be any time, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for that. Or three, you just enjoy being disobedient. You like to be in that shell of disobedience. You just don't want to break it. You just don't want to let go of your habit. They say it takes, I don't know how many days to make a habit, 21, 31, whatever it is, 4 months, 6 months, a year. But you've made that habit for yourself, and you don't want to break that. Brother's explaining, brother, you know, it's haram to do this, you know, very nicely and politely, and you ask the brother continuously, you tell them, I asked, and so on and so forth. Yeah, you leave them after that. You don't have to fight them and tell them in a harsh way. But at least it's your duty to tell them. Enjoining the right and forbidding the evil. So when you tell them and you keep telling them and telling them and telling them and they don't take it, they're insisting on being disobedient and breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let them deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you've done your job. Or you could be too lazy. You know, people want to be millionaires. They must move in order to become a millionaire. They must really have a plan in life in order to become a millionaire. People are spending their lives 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, still in university, studying because they have a goal in life. They want to get somewhere. So if you want to get somewhere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to start, at least take that first step. Take that first step. Or it doesn't mean anything to you, forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You couldn't care less whether he forgave you or didn't forgive you. Because you don't understand that this life has to end. You think that the life is going to go on forever and ever and ever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, and whatever is in between it, الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفَّارِ, and He is the mighty, the all-forgiving. He is the mighty, the all-forgiving. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't run from Him. You can't hide from Him. So if you think that it doesn't mean anything to you, you can't escape the boundary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't get out of His domain. You can't leave. You have no permission. You're under the compulsion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Jabbar. He is the compeller. And He'll compel you whether you like it or whether you don't. He compels your heart to beat. He compels your eyes to see. He compels your kidneys to work or not work. He compels your heart to work or not work. He is Khaliq. He is the one who has created everything. So don't think you can leave His domain. Therefore repent and do good. Repent and do good. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said, كُلُّ مَعْرُوفٍ صَدَقَةٌ. All ma'ruf, all good things is sadaqah. Any little good thing that you've done is sadaqah. Don't belittle it. Don't belittle it. Therefore repent from watching TV and then do good. Break the shaitan's back. If he's on your back constantly all the time in your disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do the good when he's on your back. Do it. Get up and do something. Even when you're doing the sin, get up and do something good. And know that there is hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and shaitan has nothing to offer to you. Nothing. So get up off that TV couch, shut it off, or stop watching the lewd programs. Do something to curb that appetite. It is a vicious one. And then do good. And then repent from hurting somebody's feelings. When you hurt your brothers and sisters' feelings, it drives them away. It drives them away. And I'm not saying you hurt their feelings by telling them the truth. I'm stating you hurt their feelings by mocking them. Look at his head, and look at his body, and look at this, and not even a friendly joke. You don't even know the person, and you're mocking them. And they feel saddened, and the sisters feel saddened by sisters criticizing each other, mocking each other. The brothers feel saddened at the same thing, and you belittle each other. So stop hurting their feelings. But nowadays, I mean, there's also another extreme where you tell somebody, brother, would you like to pray? And then the rumor gets out that, oh, he hurt my feelings. It's ridiculous. I'm saying within the boundaries that you should not hurt your brothers and sisters' feelings, inshaAllah. Or when you tell a truth, or some disaster is taking place in the community, you stand up and say, well, that's what's happening. Oh, he hurt our feelings. Well, are you the only administrators in this community? I hurt your feelings? That's too bad. So sad. Now, repent and do good. Repent from missing your prayers. Every prayer you miss, you should repent from that. Repent sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have missed the prayer, and try your best to catch the prayers. If you miss the fajr, get up. As soon as you get up, make wudu and say your prayers before you even leave that house. Because you don't know how long it will take you to get out and come back, because you might not come back to your house. And Allah knows. So repent from missing your prayers and do good. And repent from your spiritual arrogance to do good. Repent from your arrogance. People come into the masjids nowadays and they have a huge aura of arrogance. They themselves are breaking the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they have this arrogance. Where do you get this arrogance from? Where do you achieve this arrogance from? Where do you achieve it? At least you should have something to be arrogant of. And then they quote Ibn Mas'ud saying, oh, he said that if anybody knew more of the Qur'an than me, then I would go and learn from him. You're not Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He was stating a fact. He was not saying it out of arrogance. So stop having the spiritual arrogance and looking down on people. And that's what's killing our community here. They think administrations, dawah groups, this, that. That's not killing our community. Our community is being stifled with spiritual arrogance from all sides. From the one who is even ignorant, he's arrogant for what he thinks he knows. He thinks he's a philosopher. And he just opens his mouth and half an hour of hot wind, not a mention of Allah and not a mention of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you think you want me to believe you and repent and do good and repent from being unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repent from neglecting and not remembering Allah at every step. Repent from that and then do good. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in authentic hadith, he has stated that he used to ask forgiveness 70 times. Another one, he used to ask forgiveness more than 100 times a day. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not ask forgiveness from doing sins. He asked forgiveness after the salah. That's when he used to mostly ask forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To show his ummah that nothing comes close, as they say over here, to the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even after the prayer, but now we do sin, we still don't ask forgiveness. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us how to ask forgiveness, when to ask forgiveness, and keep continuously asking forgiveness. His past, his future, sins were forgiven, and yet, when Aisha asked him, why are you praying so hard, were your feet are swollen, he said, should I not be a grateful servant? This was the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he narrated that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is none amongst you but has a place written for him either in paradise or in hell. So we said, meaning Ali radiallahu anhu and another companion said, we said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall we depend on this fact and give up doing righteous works as because our place is already destined for us? And look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who can doubt that he was not a true Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because you can't answer that question if you are phony. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no, carry on doing deeds, for everybody will find easy to do such deeds as will lead him to his destined place. Carry on doing deeds. And you will find it easy for you, whatever deeds you're doing, for you to be destined to either Jannah or Jahannam. May Allah save us from the second one. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited, he said, as for him who gives charity and keeps his duty to Allah and believes in al-husna, we will make smooth for him the path of ease. It's one of those last surahs. فَأَمَّا مَنْ عَافَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. The one who gives, عَافَى وَاتَّقَى, from bewaring of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what he stated, and he continued the verse. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is stating. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, seek Allah's forgiveness and do good. Don't wear the hijab because somebody's telling you. Wear it for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't put on your beard because you gotta fit into a group. Do it for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't clothe yourself properly because somebody's asking you, but do it for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you'll find contentment in your heart because you will not have association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will do it only for His sake. So repent and do good. And whatever may be, if it may be helping the orphans and the widows, and alhamdulillah, we have done that week in and week out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all the brothers and sisters who participate in that. We have a steady program. And how can we stop by and think that we need our comfortable lifestyle? So help the orphans, no matter what little good it may be. Helping your brothers and sisters in anything, even helping them put on their jacket, whatever it is, do it. And giving little money to help them, whatever you think you can do. Because Allah knows what you're harboring in your heart. And you know, even last week, may Allah bless, the people brought, the sisters, they brought baked goods and started selling for activities. They're compelled by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will reward them for whatever they have done. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالَ بِالنِّيَاتِ. All the action are according to intention. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ إِمْرٍ مَا نَوَى. And whatever you intended, that's what you will get. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا تَحْكِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Don't belittle. Don't make the ma'roof, the good thing, insignificant. Any ma'roof, insignificant, any little good thing, even be it a smile to your brother's face. Don't consider it small. And many scholars said, the minute, the small things, makes a mountain. So don't think that something that is small is insignificant, you don't need to look at it. Anything that you do, think of doing good, inshallah, from today onwards. Any little thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم. Those people that have done fahisha, actually they say illicit sexual act, and also things that are despicable in terms of indecency, or أو ظلموا, or they have wronged themselves. You wrong yourself by not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wrong yourself for breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how you wrong yourself. For making shirk, you wrong yourselves. Anfusahum. And what do they do? ذكر الله فاستغفروا. They remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They ask forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what? لذنوبهم. For their sins. They ask forgiveness for their sins when they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And nobody forgives the sins except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one. No one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the verse ends with saying, وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَالُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And these people, after asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, they should not be persistent in doing that while they still know. All the answers are in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know why they're reading Nostradamus or this one or that one. All the answers to your life's problem are in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's not boasting, because there's no errors in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not boasting. What if you fall again after repenting? What if you fall again? Then don't despair. You don't have to despair. If you fall again, repent and do good. There's a hadith of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and I paraphrase it. That Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he stated that the servant asks that he commits a mistake and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And then Allah forgives him. And then he commits, not intentionally, but he falls back into that mistake and asks Allah's forgiveness. And then Allah forgives him, and then he falls again. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he knows that I am the most merciful, so I have forgiven him. This is the believer's attitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's 100 parts of mercy and 99 is reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one is for all the creatures. And that 99 is not a degree that you can measure. It's showing that it cannot be measured. It's something too great. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His creatures. But we want to be disobedient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءَ. The one who commits su, evil, أو يظلم نفسه, or wrongs themselves, ثم يستغفر الله, and then repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يجد الله, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, غفورا رحيما, oft forgiving, most merciful. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oft forgiving, most merciful. So when you repent, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of forgiving, most merciful. And you know the Sayyid al-Istighfar, if you think it's in the 8th volume of Bukhari, if you see it, the dua of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduk wa ana ala hadika wa wa'adika wa istata'at wa a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at wa abu laka ni'mati alayya wa abu bi dhanbi faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa an. The rough translation says, Allah, there is no deity except you. And you have created me, خَلَقْتَنِي وَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ. You have created me and I am your servant. And I try to be on the covenant that you have given me as much as I can, مَسْتَطَعْ. And I profess, وَأَبُو لَكَ ذَنْبِي. And I profess my sins. And I acknowledge your greatness, your favors on me. And no one can forgive sins except you, illa ant. It's a very beautiful dua. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, this is Sayyid al-Istighfar. And then he continued to say, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said, the one who says that in the morning with yaqeen. And the word Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used is muqinan. This word means with certitude. That Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is saying, the one who says this with certitude, with certainty, would believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning and dies before nightfall, he will be from the Ahl of Jannah, from the people of Jannah. And if he says that at night with certitude, and he dies before morning, he will be from the people of Jannah. And that's what we want to be, inshallah. We don't want our brothers. Why are you wishing your brothers and sisters to go to Jahannam? So why all this arrogance? What for? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, a believer sees his sins as he's sitting. You know, he used the word subhanAllah, amazing, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tahta jabalin, under the jabal, yakhafu an yaqa'a alayhi. As though he's sitting under the mountain and he's afraid, khawf. He fears that this thing will fall on him, that his sins will fall on him like a mountain falls on him. And then he says, the fajir, the one who is an evildoer, he passes his sin by as though flies passing over his nose. And fee. And the narrator said that he moved his hand across his nose. So we need to be very, very careful. Are we thinking that our sins are nothing and we just fly it by like that? Or do we really think that our sins are so heavy that they're going to crumble on us? So we need to do good. We need to motivate ourselves to propel ourselves to do good. We can't be day in and day out in the same kind of rut. I get up, I don't pray, I go out, I curse, I do this, I eat that, I drink this, I smoke this. We got to stop this perpetual cycle of disobedience. And once you stop it, you will feel better, because the heart will not be rested until it's rested with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim alayhi rahmatullah, he said, repentance has status that has no other form of worship has. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely pleased when a servant repents, just as a traveler is happy when he finds his lost mount in the desert. There's other hadith that continue on and state that when he finds the mount, he exchanges, he says, Allah, I am your Lord and you are my servant, out of great happiness. That's how Allah is happy to receive his servant who asks his forgiveness. Al-Qurzi, he says, alayhi rahmatullah, he says, it comprises of four elements, tawbah, seeking forgiveness. He said, number one, asking for forgiveness with the tongue. You must ask. Number two, to uproot that thing from the body, whatever you're doing, physically uproot it. Number three, to resolve not to commit it again. You can't just say, oh, I did it, I may commit it again. You should be resolved in not wanting to commit that mistake again and again and again. Okay? And now, he said the fourth thing is to leave bad company. Because bad company is amazing. Your company could be the TV. That's the worst company. Or your company could be a believer who is crooked. That's even detrimental to you because you think you're all alike. Oh, he's a brother. She's a sister. She's doing it. Why can't I? That's the attitude we should not have, inshallah. And I end with this. Shaykh al-Isfahani, he states, alayhi rahmatullah, he said, the useful benefits of making tawbah is the repenting of a person that has experienced both the good and the bad aspect of life and has tasted its sweet and bitter fruits. He thus becomes sympathetic towards other sinners and does not look down upon them. And what do we do in our gatherings? Now we think we're ulama, we're big scholars. We're big, big scholars. We have to be very, very careful in having this spiritual arrogance. In our gathering, we think that piety just fell out of the sky and we're the only one that received it. Have to be very careful. You don't know all the hadith. You don't know all the hukum. You don't know all the viewpoints of shara. You don't know. Even the great scholars, they're humble. But you, insignificant, nobody, think you're going to give a fatwa out right away. Or you're going to just blame or look down, oh, what is she doing? Look at her dress. Look at his face. Look at that. That's how we have become. Because we become spiritually arrogant while being ignorant. So we need to change that attitude, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, and mend our ways, and continue. Huwa ma'akum ayna ma kuntum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you wherever you are. With his knowledge, he knows, he comprehends you. So understand that, and inshallah continue from this day on to do the righteous work. Any little good, let us see some differences in the brothers and sisters, inshallah. I know we have come a long way, but we can go farther and farther, inshallah. And we become somebody close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah forgive us and guide us.
ClearIslam.com If
you would like to obtain more information about Clear Islam and our multimedia products, please visit our website at www.clearislam.com or contact us by email at info@clearislam.com. You can phone us locally at area code 902-454-4242 or toll free at 1-866-GO-ISLAM.